keep forgetting it.
Amen. But my wife always reminds me. We're coming to the beginning of a study, which is actually the end of another study. As we're coming to fully understand charity, Lord, and what it talks about in the Word of God, what charity means. And what brought us into this was coming through the stuff you've seen on the other side. Everybody here has seen that diagram. We don't need to look at it again. But that diagram talks about the pillars in people's lives, that as we are saved in Christ Jesus, we always look back and we are to test our salvation with the Word of God. And so in that testing, there should be pillars in our life. If you're really saved, there ought to be a desire to pray, to study, to have fellowship. A deeper desire for that than the things of the world, that the world will provide you. Anybody tried the things of the world? Hey, did they fulfill you, or did they leave you high and dry? High and dry. It's death, the things of the world. But the things of God, the things of Christ are always rich. They're fulfilling. They are indeed water for a dry and desperate land. And your heart being a dry and desperate place, God has provided for you the things that you need. And in that, we have our understanding of His love for us. In that, we have an understanding that He tells us one of these pillars needs to be charity. And when we think of charity, we think of love, right? And being charitable towards other people. But when you really unveil charity and what it really means in the Word of God, these are the attributes of Christ that we need to apply in our lives in a real personal way. There are 11 attributes that we looked at, and the last four of them are the result of applying those attributes in your personal life. Today is the last attribute, I think, is the most stunning or the most heart-changing, which is endures all things. As you look at long-suffering, which is the first attribute of Christ in the understanding of charity, long-suffering, being kind, envious not, vaunting not puffed up. All of these are disciplines that you can work in your life. I can try not to be puffed up. I can try not to be proud. I can try not to vaunt my abilities, living braggadociously in my own life. I can actually strive to through the obedience of God not to live an unseemingly life. Right? I can do those things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be not easily provoked. You can't pick a fight with me anymore, where in old times you could pick a fight with me by cutting me off in traffic, right? Something as simple as that would get me to that place. And then as I get into those, you didn't even know it was a sin, did you? I can still do that today, amen. And then being able to think no evil, right? And he looks into that pretty in depth. And then rejoicing not in iniquity, not taking pleasure in the unrighteous things of the world. Then learning how to rejoice in truth. All of those are disciplines or discipleship training that you can apply, that you can learn how to walk in as you study the God of the Word, amen, and the Word of God, as you study those. And as you apply these in some manner, in some point in your life, and the closer you walk with Him, the longer you walk with Him, the more of these things you put into your life. And then there comes a time that walk and belief and charity starts living through you and starts producing fruit. All right? And in that fruit, you're able to bear all things. Able to live inside of a troubled world and still bearing righteous fruit. Able to understand, believing all things that is written in the Word of God. Even when I don't, my brother was saying, I don't understand the Old Testament so much because it looks like God is so cruel when He says, go and kill everything that breathes breath in the Old Testament, or to stone your children when they don't obey you. Those sound hard. But when you look at the fullness and the mercy of God, those things are actually a blessing to the people that follow them. And we won't get into all the answers to that, but if you really know God and His holiness, you'll see why He has those things in the Word of God to help us to grow in the love and the knowledge and the admonition of God. When we get a good vision our sight of who God is, we see the unrighteousness of man and how we must die to our thoughts when they don't align into God's thoughts. So that's how you can believe all things. And then you can hope all things in Christ Jesus. My hope is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. We dare not trust that sweetest frame, but we wholly lean in Jesus' name. Because it's Christ, the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And we know the song, but we do we take that song and apply it in our lives through the assurity of the Scripture of God's Word? Today we're going to be looking at something that is the culmination, isn't that the word, where everything comes together? The culmination of all these things, that we're able to endure all things through charity. As we apply these things, as we start to grow in the knowledge of the Most High God, starting to grow, then all of a sudden we have an ability that goes way beyond human understanding to truly endure all things. Now that the groundwork is laid out a little bit, we're going to get into the Word of God by prayer, and then through what the Lord has shown me through Scripture this week. Father, we love You. Teach us, Father God, that we can endure, not in and of our own ability, but God that supplies us all our needs and faith and understanding. Teach us, Father God, that You are the only thing that allows us to live through the times and the seasons and the wickedness of this world. Father, teach us to endure with patience. Father, we thank You. I pray even now as I open up Your Scripture, as I open up the understanding, may I decrease all the more that Your Word might explode on the scene. Lord, that Your righteousness, Your holiness would be heard. And Father, my inability to truly walk in holiness isn't seen, but Your ability to make me what I'm to be would only be seen. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Enduring all things. So what does it mean to endure? All right. This is different from long suffering. All right. We all have a tendency to think we know what long suffering is. I'm going to put up with you just because the Bible tells me. I'm going to long suffer with you. Endurance has this understanding of long suffering, but endurance is way different than just long suffering. I like how Paul put these on the opposite spectrums of the ideas of what charity is, or the attributes of what charity is. First, he's starting with long suffering, starting living with each other with the ideal of peace, right? And then the very last of it is enduring. Yes, enduring. I had to look this up and did quite a bit of trying to understand what it means to endure. See, we cannot endure anything without the power of God, His indwelling Spirit. So to understand the true meaning of endurance, you wrap your mind around this. It means to bear or bearing or suffering, continuing under pain or distress without resistance. All right, catch this. Because I never thought of enduring like this. To put up with persecution without resisting the persecutor. Jesus said when they hate you, when they smack you on the cheek, or they say all manner of unrighteousness, great is your reward in heaven. That means when somebody does something bad to you, not only do you just long suffer with it, you put up with it in a good spirit. We look at the martyrs, right? How those people in the Middle East or the people all over the world are martyred or are imprisoned for their belief in Christ. And you hear them praying for those who are so spitefully using them. As you see the torture, because it's more than just hard times. He's talking really being tormented in a physical understanding. Bearing or suffering, continuing under pain or distress without resisting, without shrinking back, without yielding to the pressure. That's what it means to endure. Not yielding to the pressure.
How do you know you're really alive in Christ? How do you know that you have charity working and living in you? When the pressure comes against you, when the pressure comes against your family, when the pressure comes against the thing that's most valuable to you, you stand, therefore, in the faith. When they take away the thing that you have earned, the thing that you think is yours, the very breath that you take, and you stand in faith and say, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. That's enduring. Do we see that in Scripture? Yes, I think we see that in Scripture all over the place. I was praying, in fact, the Lord laid this on my heart just fresh this morning. In Job, you want to talk about enduring? Now, Job was a righteous man. There's nothing wrong in his life. Right? He had lived a life of holiness before God. And it says in Job chapter 1 and in chapter 2, there came a day. There was a day, this is chapter 1, verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. I like this, the way that that's put. The sons of God, those who are righteous, the angelic hosts, the sons of God, came before the Lord, and Satan came too. Notice he didn't put him as a son of God. Right? And Satan came too, among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord, said, from going to and fro in the earth, not on the earth. Now that's another interesting thing that we talked about. He's going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, a perfect man, upright man, that one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, doeth Job fear God for naught? And verse 10 says, hath not thou made a hedge about him and all his house and all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his sustenance is increase of the land. Satan said, now I just add Satan said, all right? Satan said unto God, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. So Satan comes before God and says, God says, think of Job. He's a righteous man, did nothing wrong. He sacrificed for his kids, he did all these things, he has all this stuff. And Satan says, listen, the reason that he worships you, the reason that he stands for you, is because you've not allowed any pressure. He's not had to endure any hard times, basically, is what he's saying. And so God, the Lord, says in verse 12, and the Lord said unto him, Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And then it talks about all the stuff he left lost in one day. All of his family was wiped out in one day in a storm. They were all together in one house. A wind came, knocked down the house, killed all of his children, all of his wives. Everything he had seemed to die. All of his livestock that very same day, there were people that came out from foreign lands. They took all of his livestock away, took all of his wealth away, all in one day. Talk about learning how to endure. As he was speaking, verse 19, he talks about that. And so, and then Job arose and he rent his mantle, he shaved his head, he fell down upon the ground, and he worshipped. That's real endurance. Now, for a moment, just think what would happen in your personal life. You're doing everything right. You're doing all the good things. You're living a life that's holy and just before God. And all of a sudden, everything you've ever owned, everything you've ever cherished, everything that was worth anything to you just got taken away in one day. You're brokenhearted. You rinse your mantle. You fall down on the Lord, on your face before God. And you don't ask God why. You worship God. Amen. That's endurance. Amen. That's endurance. And Job had done nothing wrong. He was righteous before God in all ways. In fact, God said, look, out of all the people on the earth, check Job out. He's the one who loves the Lord. He fears God. He eschews evil. There's nothing wrong on his account. Satan says, that's just because you treated him special. So God, God says Job will worship me anyhow. Take everything he has, and he did. Later in chapter 2, the same thing appears, only this time it gets a little bit worse for Job. And the Lord said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" The first part's the same as walking in the earth and all that kind of stuff. And so the Lord said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect, an upright man, one that fears the Lord and escheweth evil. And still he holds fast to his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause." Who took everything that Job had? God did. Satan did it, but God allowed it to happen. And even in that, he did not sin. He didn't fight against God. He endured it. Has God given us all these things? We shouldn't accept the evil of the world also? That's true endurance. And then Satan comes and says, and Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said, "Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and he smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. And he took him a potsherd and scraped himself withal. Talk about enduring. All right? Now, this is all in the same week. This is all in the same moments. He just lost his whole family. He just lost all of his fortune. He just lost all that he ever had. But his health was still with him. And then Satan says, "Listen, we're going to test him again, see if he really endures." And he sends Satan down there with the power of God to strike him from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head with these boils. I don't know if you've ever had a boil. It's real bad. It's a blood infection. Hurts so bad, it just burns all over your body. And he sits down with a broken piece of potsherd from his house that just burned to the ground. They start shaving these things off of him. Still, he didn't curse God. Amen. He endured the hardship like a saint of the Most High God. Talk about a gift of the Holy Spirit. To endure like he endured. And even his wife, verse 9. And then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." And he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil?" And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Even when the one he loved the most, the only one that was left of his family, his dear wife. Now, don't get me wrong. She was suffering just as much as he was suffering. Y'all moms, imagine that. Your whole family, all of your children, all of their kids, all of the grandkids, all at one time died. And then the one man that stands in your life as a vision of hope, as a concrete thing that cannot be moved, because he trusts God. You see him sitting there in this disgusting, infected body, scraping the sores off. As we saw in Ecclesiastes, it would be better if he was never born. I think she spoke this out of pure compassion for him, not out of an evilness. You're hurting, Job. All you got to do, just God will accept you. Just curse God and die. And Job says, "No. No, I will endure this because what God has given me. I will endure the hardships. I will, no matter what the body that he has given me, no matter the pain and the not understanding what he has given me, I will endure that because of what God has done for us. He's given us good. Should we not endure the evil also?" I don't think when we look at charity, we look at endures. Charity endureth all things. I don't think we look at it like that.
When we look at what real endurance means, that means there is this great pressure pushing you down, trying to destroy you. You say, I can take it. Not anything within me, but with everything that God has given with me, I can take it. And you see everything you know dissolve in front of you. Not because you're evil and deserve it, but because you're righteous. Those folks that are in prison, we just read about them in prayer time this morning. Pastors' families, women, just because they trust Jesus Christ, locked up in prison. In the Middle East, as a Christian, that's not a place to be in jail. That was one picture of endurance. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10. I guess all I'm saying is that we really don't, I don't think we really get endurance the way that we're called to get endurance. Hebrews 10 and verses 38 and 39. Well, actually, I guess I would start at 31. But even before we get to that, Lord, let me one more time just go here. Father, grant us, Lord Jesus, the opportunity to endure with faith. Lord, we are a fat and lazy Americans. We have everything that we have more than most of the world could ever hope for, and yet we're ignorant of the true call of God on the Christian life. Lord, I know there will come a testing for this nation. I believe, Father, I believe we're on the threshold of that. Teach us, Father God, how to endure with holiness, with righteousness. Let not our lips sin against the Most High God as the pressures increase. Teach us, Father, to stand not in our righteousness, but your own. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31 says it this way. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Amen? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Alright? Remember the former days? Remember the goodness of God. Now, God won't put this type of pressure on you until you've been illuminated. What does it mean to be illuminated? That means you have the light of the truth of God on you. You're born again, and he knows that you can take it. Job, he didn't do that to him when he was 15 years old, right? He waited until he had the full power, the full understanding of who God is, how to worship God, how to walk with God, how to love God. And God knew that no matter what he dumped on him, he would stand. He was illuminated. After you were illuminated, after you had the power of God. Now see, before you're illuminated, there may be pressures that come on you, but you know what those pressures are for? To drive you to the cross. God allows bad things to happen to people all the way around the world that we might know him, that he is the savior of the soul, that he's the provider for the needy, that he is indeed the bread, the manna that came from heaven, that he is the water that came from the rock to sustain you. Even when you don't know him, he's there to sustain you. He allowed these things. The chastening of the Lord is never pleasant at the moment, but in its end, it brings righteousness. Amen. So you might not be born again yet, or you might think that you're born again yet, and you say, God, why am I going through this stuff? Well, maybe you need to start taking these attributes of charity, reading into those what they really mean, and apply them in your life. God is putting this on you that you might not vaunt it, that you might not be puffed up, that he's putting this pressure on you to change you, to conform you into a living stone of God, that he could fit you into the house of God in a proper manner. He's cutting off dead stuff. But once he cuts off dead stuff, then he puts on the real pressure. You say that you love me, you say that you want to remain in the vine, let me put that to the test. Let me put that to the test. I'm going to take the thing you love
Abraham, take thy son, thine only son, the one that you love, and bring him up to the mountain. Not just any son. Not just anybody. Take the one you love. Bring him up to the... And Abraham endured that. Do we even understand enduring that?
As we read on, from 31 and then to 32, partly whilst thou were made a gazing stock, both reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better enduring substance. All right? Paul's in jail. This church here that he's talking to, they gave to him. And they gave out of their poverty, not out of their wealth. He gave, and he says, listen, the reason that you did that, the reason that you endured giving me the only bite of food you had, is because you knew that there's a better thing waiting for you. You could endure the suffering of this present moment for the glory that's laid before you. We can suffer, you can endure those things. Verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, when? After you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. After you, not before you did the will of God, after you did the will of God, you can receive the promise. You don't get the promise until you've done the will of God. All right? For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Those are the ones that did not endure. My soul has no pleasure in you if you draw back. So all right, you're walking in faith. You say you believe God, but God comes and he sends a storm, and he kills all of your family. Then he gives you a cancer. He gives you something that's going to kill you, and you know it's going to kill you. You say, God, I can't take this. I don't want no part of it. I'm drawing back. God says, my soul has no pleasure in you. How can we just take the good stuff and not all the rest? Hey, you've got to eat your broccoli along with your mashed potatoes, right? I like broccoli and mashed potatoes. I don't know. Me too, right? You got to eat your bad stuff along with your good stuff, all right? You got to eat the bitter herbs. Thank you, Lord, for that. Even in the Passover, they ate the Passover with bitter herbs. They had to endure the bitterness to get to the goodness. Church, we have been fed a lie. That there will be no pain in your life. That everything's good. It's all unicorns and rainbows. You don't have to worry about nothing. God's love. He never meant any bad thing to happen to you. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you will have hard times. You will have tribulation in this day. It's not supposed to be ice cream and cherry cake every day. Sometimes you got to eat the bad things, the things that don't taste good. And you got to endure through those that you can get to the things that are better later on. The promise is for those who fail not, who don't turn back. If you do draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Oh, 39, this is a concrete one. I pray that you're here already. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, destruction. If you draw back, he promises you what? Perdition. Perdition means, starts with D and ends with action. Destruction. All right? And then, so you will draw back into destruction. You will draw back into hellfire. Don't quit. Hey, sweetheart. Don't quit. You push forward. Never draw back. You know that cowards have no part in the kingdom of heaven? Those who say, I can't take it, I'm walking away. If you walk away, there remaineth no sacrifice for your sin. You can't quit. You can't draw back. If you do draw back, his soul has no pleasure in you. Verse 39 is the hook, though. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Are you of that type? I hope that you are. But you won't know if you are until the pressure comes. Because it's easy to be the Monday morning armchair quarterback, right? You're watching the replay of everything, so, oh, I would have never done that. Wait, you weren't under that pressure. You, who are those guys who try to come and cream the quarterback? Those big, big, huge guys with the big numbers on their chest. You don't know that you wouldn't throw that ball down and run the other way. I would, right? I'm not doing it. You're not going to hit me. You want the ball. Here's the ball. Thank you. Here, run that way. I'm not stopping you. I'm like the kicker. I'm not into that. Well, we can't be that way if we are receiving our power from God. Then we can endure. Jesus said this in Matthew 10 and 22, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared to be hated by all men for the name of Jesus? They hate you. Your family's going to hate you. Your family's going to turn away from you. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Endureth to the end. Not endureth halfway through. Not endureth some of the way. But endureth to the end. Are you prepared to hold on to the faith of God until there be nothing left of you? Even though you slay me, yet shall I trust you. Back to Job. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to endure no matter what he puts. You know why? And again, this is not my tenacity. This isn't because I'm a bulldog. Right? This is because God has indwelt me with the spirit of charity, the spirit, the attributes of Christ. It's not that I can hold on in and of my own power, but because I'm getting my power from God, no matter what happens in this temporal world, my faith is there. I have a kingdom promised of God, and so no matter what happens to me in this little bit of time that I call life, yeah, they're going to hurt you. They're going to hate you. For God's sake, for the love of Christ, they're going to hate you. Do you know if you don't confess Christ, then he will deny you? Now, that doesn't mean confess him in church. That doesn't mean come up and say, Lord, I love you, I trust you. No, this means when the pressure is on. Amen. When you're in the big kettle pot, and the fire just gets turned on, and you feel the heat of the water as it begins to boil, and you see your flesh floating off your bones. See, that's endurance. It's easy to endure when things are calm, when there's no trouble in your life, when you're getting what you just want to do. Yeah, I can endure. Oh, God's all ice cream and chocolate candy. Man, yeah, I can endure that. But what if your family doesn't love you anymore? What happens to your faith in those points and times? Whoever, therefore, I've got to go back to Matthew chapter 10. Oh my goodness, this whole chapter is so good. See, where's a good place to start? 10:28. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? But the hairs of your head, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows.
Wherefore, shalt thou confess me before men, him I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I have come to send peace on the earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance, against his father, and his father against his daughter, and his mother against his daughter-in-law, and against her mother-in-law, and the man's foe shall be they of his own household. But he that loveth the father or the mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. That's enduring. That's what endurance means. Are you willing to lose your life that you might find it in him? Are you willing to lose your family that you might find your real family in him? Are you willing to turn away everything that you know in this world that you might find the things that are coming in the world to come? Do you trust in the temporal world or do you trust in the eternal promises of God? Everyone's going to die here. No one gets out of this alive. Turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Endurance. Going the long haul. Living a life that's honorable before God. Willing to give up your heart's desire that you might have the desire of the heart of God. That's endurance. Again, this is too rich just to take part of it, so we'll pick up in verse 1, chapter 2, 2 Timothy. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, where's the grace at? It's not what you think you know. It's not in your ability to hold on. It's your ability to hold to him, because his truth, his love, his mercy, these attributes, his long-suffering, his kindness, his vaunteth not, his not puffed up, his not acting unseemly, his not seeking his own. Those attributes in Christ Jesus. It's a humble brokenness of heart. This is the true charity that God wants us to have. And the things, verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me along as many witnesses, the same commit now to faithful men who is able to teach and teach others also. So these things that we learn from the Word of God, it's not for yourself. We're supposed to teach endurance to others. We're supposed to show the love, the power of God to others. God gave us this. It's a gift. The grace of God is the dispensation. The grace of God that is given to you is not for you, it's for everybody else. Give it out. Give it to them. Thou therefore, because you're giving out the goodness of God, because you're giving out your life for him, because you're giving all that you have for his grace, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Endure the hardness as a good soldier. Have y'all ever seen how the Navy SEALs or the special forces of the military train? The Hell Week and all that kind of stuff. I've never been there, but I don't want to go. Right? But there are men who do that. They say, I'll endure the hardship that I can be trained as a good soldier. See, as the Navy SEALs have a training regiment for their people to become a good soldier, tougher than all the rest, Jesus Christ has a training for you to make you more durable than all the rest. You will stand when other people fall. You will go beyond the limitations of your body that you might glorify the Lord who's in heaven. So, as a good soldier, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive these masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Now there's a big one right there. You've got to work inside of the confines of the Word of God. Everybody says, if a man strives for these masteries, if you're striving to do this, but you're not doing it inside of the will and the righteousness of God, you're not going to win. You've got to play by His rules, not by what you think His rules mean. And how do we know His rules? Oh, it's your King James Bible. Notice I said King James Bible? Not any other Bible. It's not your nearly inspired Bible, NIV, your nearly inspired, or ESV, or any of those. Not saying that you can't get saved through those, but the real Word of God comes for our understanding through the King James Bible. All right? So anyhow, a man strives for these masteries. Striving for the masteries. How can you strive for the masteries if you have a transliteration of the rules instead of the actual rule book? I have the rules, but these are softer rules than the real rules. So, to become a Navy SEAL, I don't have to take the code book of the Navy SEALs and apply those to my life. I'm going to take somebody from the Air Force. Somebody from someone who hasn't been trained in that way. And I'm going to take, all right, the TV star that talks about being in the Navy SEALs. Right? That guy, stolen valor. I'm going to take his rule book instead of the real rule book and say that I'm one of those. No, you ain't. Because when the firing starts, when the fight really starts, you won't be able to stand because you didn't go through the training to know how to stand in the times of trouble. You didn't learn how to endure when the times were easy. When you think that those basic training things aren't easy, well, compared to real combat, they're a walk in the park. Ask anybody who's been through the training. Anyhow, if any man also strive for these masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. That's where it has to be done God's way. I can only endure as I walk in the fullness of God, in the knowledge of God, through the Word of God, with the indwelling power of God within me. These things that he's asking us to endure are not something we can do with our own power. These only come to a broken and contrite heart, sticking to the Word of God. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now we'll come to understand these things. In verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. All right, that's not the end of the statement, but that's a thought. Think of this. If we suffer, we'll reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny. If we draw back, he has no pleasure in us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Now, that often is taken out of context. We use that, but you can never lose your salvation. God will never deny himself. Well, first of all, did you endure the training?
Right.
Did you endure the hard times? Or did you quit during the training? In the Navy SEALs, they have a bell you can ring to get out. If you ring the bell, you're out of it. How many folks call themselves Christian, ring the bell, and just hung around the fence? Ding, I don't want the hard times, I just want the good times. I don't want any of the hardships of being a Christian. All I want is the fluffer nutter stuff. All I want is the high, fluffy ideals of Christ, but I don't want any of the realness of Christ, where he says, I've got to deny my mom, I've got to deny my dad, I've got to deny, yes, even my own life, that I might be his disciple. Got to get rid of all those other things that I might know him and the glory that he's going to provide for me. if I quit, if I draw back, if I stop pushing forward, I will lose. That's not me saying it, that's the Bible saying it. I'm repeating what the Bible says, and I know that hurts a lot of people's theology, but that's what we're here to do, is mess up your theology. So, now all these things I put you in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about with words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study, show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shame, shun, profane, and vain babblings. Amen. Shun those things. Babblings. We're going over exposing dispensationalism in Sunday school. We're supposed to shun babblings. This is a doctrine of babblings that have gone on for hundreds of years. It's not founded in the Word of God. It's founded in the backside of a man's thoughts. This is what I believe God said. I like the a picture that I gave of the Navy SEALs training handbook. Well, I don't want to go through the real training, so I'm going to take this other stuff. I'm going to watch it on TV. Oh, wow, thank you, Lord. I'm going to watch my exercise videos on TV and think I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get in shape because I watched somebody else do 100 setups. Yeah, I'm in shape. Because I watched somebody do it. No, you've got to do it. You've got to endure it, to push through it. He remains faithful. His mercy endures. We started touching on this in Sunday school, Psalm 136, 1 through 26. I'll just sum this up real quick. Everything he says, the mercy of God endures forever. Amen. You know why he's enduring? Because we stink so badly. Amen. He's enduring my unrighteousness because I trust in him. He's waiting for me to mature and to where I can endure. See, I've been doing this for a while, not as long as Jim, praise God. I've been doing this for a while, but I ain't been doing this as long as Alan, right? These men, they have endured longer than I have. But they still endure the same things that I have, just with a different package. But it's the same gift, it's everlasting life. The same gift is being able to endure. They endure with the same power that I have. They endure by the power of the Holy Ghost, not because they're good enough. Because I know these guys, they ain't good. Right? Right? Amen? Could you say amen to that? I'm not talking behind your back. I'm looking you face to face. Right? You ain't good. You're not righteous. But God is. And he will give you the power to endure whatever comes in front of you that you can glorify him through your suffering. Alan, when that 3 tons of ice or ever how much it was fell off the building and ripped your bones and your nerve and all that kind of stuff to pieces in his body, to this day he has these pains that shoot through his body. He's enduring that. Why? Because he's promised a new body. Praise God. Justin, he's promised a new body. There's a new body waiting for him that isn't bound to this chair. There's a new body. Are you going to endure through this to get to that?
Amen.
Amen. There is a time that I'm going to endure this sinful flesh that I might have the promise of righteousness. A flesh that has no sin. Flesh and bone. Mm-hmm. Praise God, it won't be blood. Because in my blood is sinful. You've got to shed your blood to get the righteousness of God. He remains faithful. Amen. And we too must endure just as Christ endured. In fact, we were right there in Hebrews. Look back there, because we were so close to the hall of faith, it would be a shame and flip the wrong way. Timothy Hebrews. It would be a shame not to go there. Amen. We are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. But what kind of witnesses? These are the ones who endured, and I verse 34 and reading down, I guess. Actually, the whole thing is to talk about the faith of Moses, faith of Joseph, faith of Jacob, faith of Isaac, the faith to receive the promises. And now we're going to look at the folks that endured. And starting in 34, they quenched the violence of fire, escaping the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Amen? Out of what? Weakness they were made strong. They weren't made strong because they were the tough guy. They made strong because they were the broken person. They were made strong. Waxed violently in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women saw their dead raised to life again, and others. See, those other things, those were all the victories. Woohoo! Yay, we're making the enemy run. We're doing all the right stuff. God's so good. We're victorious in all these. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. They endured all this stuff. Why? Because they wanted to have the resurrection of righteousness. They didn't turn back. They didn't quit the fight. They didn't deny Jesus. And they pressed forward even though all they had to do was deny Christ. All they had to do was say, no, I don't believe in Jesus Christ, and their children wouldn't be burned in cages. All I do is I deny Christ, and I don't have to have my head chopped off or ripped to pieces by horses. You say, that stuff never happened. That stuff happens. Still happening today. It's Wendy. She brings these names, these people, and their tortures. They're enduring. Why? Simply because they love God. They trust God. They're going through those things. Others have a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens of the caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. But God hath provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect whole. Amen? I look at Wendy when I say that because I know this is one of her concrete verses. She holds on to this. This is a picture of endurance. This is a picture of what it costs to be a Christian. Are you prepared to be torn asunder? Sawn asunder? Are you prepared to be tortured for righteousness' sake? You say, well, that'll never happen. We're Americans. Wake up. Don't be the frog caught in the pot. Okay? It's happening. Just ain't happening to that scale yet. But it's coming. It's already said that those Christians, those born-again believers, those ones who trust the Word of God, they're the real problem. Let me tell you. The world isn't after the ones that believe in unrighteousness. The world hates those who believe in righteousness. We've got friends and family that hate us because we trust God. That's just the beginning. When he says tortured, he means real torture. It doesn't mean somebody shut their door in your face. Right? And I'm tortured. They didn't like me. No. He's talking about real torture here. You look at the Fox's Book of Martyrs. You look at their life, how they trusted God, and how God allowed them to be tortured, ripped apart, fed to lions, set on fire on sticks outside of Rome. And you call yourself the light of the world? I will make you a light. And they burned them alive on sticks. And yet, all they had to do was deny Christ and it wouldn't happen. But they desired a better resurrection. They desired, more than my life, I will trust God. I know that's a hard haul from where we are in comfortable America. See, God has, do we really believe in verse 40 that God having provided some better thing for us, that we... that they without us should not be made perfect? In the Revelation, there's those souls that are underneath the incense altar. Y'all remember that scene? It's spoken of, and they say, Lord, how long will you take vengeance? He says, rest a little while. Those folks had already been tortured and died, and they were in the very presence of the Most High God. They were being comforted, but still they were tormented in a certain way because they wanted vengeance taken for them. A lot of folks say, well, that's not the church. No, those are Christians. Those are everybody who died trusting God more than they trusted their life. Those folks, he says, and wait a little while, just a little while, until the rest, that means there's more coming, the rest of them will die in like manner. I think I just slaughtered that a little bit, but the base of it's there. God's still calling people to endure hardship. He's calling people to endure ugliness for the righteousness of God to prevail in their life. And again, like always, do you want to be part of that band under the altar of God? Or do you want to be cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? Are you prepared to endure true hardship as a good soldier? 12:1 of the same book says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doeth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Anybody here ever run a race? I haven't. You have? Did it take a little endurance? Amen. You got to push yourself further than what you think you can go. If you're in a marathon, right? I'm not talking about the good candy bar, but a marathon. You're running for 20 plus miles. It takes everything that you have in you. It takes everything that you can pour out. You're pushing yourself beyond endurance. Why? Just so you can cross the finish line. It doesn't even matter if you're running a marathon. It doesn't matter if you finish first or you finish last. Just that you finished. Same thing with being a Christian. I may not finish first. I might finish last. But I am going to persevere unto the end. I am going to finish. I'm going to endure whatever comes. Didn't think of this till just now. But praise God. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called for His purpose. All right, well, Curtis, they're about ready to lock you up and throw you in jail. They're going to take everything you have. All things are going to work together for good. You know why? I love the Lord and I'm called for His purpose. How about you? You're dying of cancer, right? 2 tons of ice fall off of a building and cripple you for the rest of your life. All things work together for good. Why? Because I love God and I'm called for His purpose. I don't have to like it. I have to endure it. You look at that, I'm sure that Justin doesn't like the predicament that he's in. Amen? Right? He doesn't like it. He wants to get up every morning and go to work and have a job. He wants to have a wife and a family. That's what he wants. But God gave him this to endure in front of us, that we will know how to endure. Every time I see my brother out, oh my God, I know that this pain just racked him from the bottom of his feet to the back of his skull. He endures that. He still comes to church. Still comes and lets us worship with him. When your own family tell you that I no longer want to have a part of you because you trust Jesus Christ. So it can be physical, it can be emotional, it can be heart-wrenching, but we're called to endure. Christianity is never meant to be easy. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11, the first part, I won't go through the whole thing. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. It's not because you went first, or not because you were stronger than anybody else. victory comes from God. Hebrews 12:12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Wow, wow. And is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Are we there yet? One thing I know, this endurance that we're talking about here will not come until the time is ready. Until God will give you that endurance when it comes. You can't plan for this off in the future, saying, oh, I'm going to stand right here and say, I know for sure that when they boil me in oil, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to trust God to it. I don't know. I haven't been. I've spilled hot oil on me, right, John? That's fun. I mean, you get a big old blister. I don't know what I will do, except I will trust God. And if God gives me the opportunity to be tied to the monument in Caledonia and pulled apart by diesels to give them one last view of the gospel, what a treat that would be. Mm-hmm. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. I don't know what I will do on that moment, but I pray that God, through faith in the Scripture, all right, I'll put it that way, I have faith in the Scripture that He will help me to endure and to die a death that's worthy of the gospel, of the God who died a death for me. Despising the shame, Jesus endured the cross. Might be shameful, or you might think it's shameful, but God. Taken us a long time to get through charity. One thing to know for sure is that charity will never fail.
Amen.
It'll never fail, not because of what you do, but because of what God can do in you. Next week, by the grace of God, we'll start talking about suffering, the next pillar. Think about that. I love the way that this thing's laid out. Because charity, all the things it does, it ends with enduring and knowing that charity will never fail. And then in the pillars that I have written down, the next pillar is suffering. Be prepared. It's gonna hurt you. But it might help you grow too. I love you. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Set this in your heart. I shall not be drawn back into perdition. I'm not going to do it. And it's not because I have the power to do it in and of myself. I trust in the living God who's given me the power to do it. No, I spoke for a long time. Suck it up, buttercup. I love you. I know y'all have endured for over an hour.
You needed to do it.
It needs to be done.
It needs to be done. Yeah.
It needs to be done.
No matter how long it takes.
Amen. Well, I got another page. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you are just and the justifier. You are the one where we'll seek our help from. Where does my help come from? From the Lord, my God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would hold on to these words when the times get hard, when we don't think in ourselves we can do it. Help us to hold to the hem of the garment of the one who can. Help us to know the security we have in the salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would enable to us, at the moment we need it, the power to endure whatever this world may throw at us, and knowing deep inside that even this is going to work out for the good, because we love you and we know that we're called. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for those things in Christ's name. Amen.